All right, ready for another deep dive? This time we're going into Eli Colt and Dakota Sutcliffe's world again, yeah. Evil for Good, it's the third book in Will Marler's Redemption Rescue series.
I think after this deep dive, you're going to want to read it.
Oh yeah, I think so too. It's a good one.
I thought it was really interesting how it picks up on a thread from the last book, you know, with how Eli and Dakota, well, they ended up starting Redemption Rescue after that whole Commodore cult situation.
Oh yeah, Commodore and the cult. Oh man, that was intense.
It was.
Saving Eli's niece Tara from that mess. That really opened their eyes to, well, to the whole world of human trafficking.
Exactly. And that experience it really informs how they approach this new case, you know, in this book. Two teenage twins, Aaliyah and Kiara Johnson, they disappear.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the police are indifferent, you know?
Right.
I found myself getting so frustrated with how little they seem to care.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a reflection, you know, of how some cases just get brushed aside.
Totally. And for Eli, you know, especially given his own past, I mean, that would really hit home for him.
Exactly.
But that frustration, it just fuels his determination to find the truth, you know, no matter what.
Yeah.
Even while he's dealing with, remember, like those lingering effects of the head injury he got from the last book.
Oh, right, right.
Talk about a dedicated investigator. I know this guy.
Yeah, he's dedicated. And that leads him to just dig deeper, right? He goes past that runaway teen's story that everybody's telling. And what he uncovers is so much bigger and so much more sinister than anyone could have imagined. And you know what? It all leads back to this guy, Kingsley, who's basically pulling the strings for like this huge criminal enterprise. And it's all happening right here in Louisiana.
I know. And he's connected to some pretty powerful people, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even the governor seems to be caught up in Kingsley's web.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The governor, Beau Bordelon. Yeah, he plays a really interesting role in this story. On the surface, he seems like he's being pressured by Kingsley. But as you read on, you start to wonder if he's really as innocent as he makes himself out to be. You know what I mean?
Ooh, that's juicy. I love it when a book makes you question everyone's motives.
Me too.
So, okay, we have Eli battling corruption at the highest levels. But then there's this whole other storyline with Gabriel.
Oh, yeah. Gabriel's story is what really grabbed me.
Yeah.
He's just this young guy. You know, he's from Honduras. He's hardworking, just trying to help his family out. But he ends up getting trafficked to Louisiana and sucked into Kingsley's world. He starts off as a victim, but then he makes this one decision that just it shifts the power dynamic.
Oh, okay.
In a really unexpected way.
Wait, hold on. You're not going to tell me what that decision is, are you? Don't spoil it. No. I'm not. No spoilers. But let's just say it throws a wrench into things.
Ooh.
You know, and you kind of start to wonder if someone can ever really escape the clutches of a system like Kingsley's. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It's intense.
Okay, that's enough to make me want to pick up the book, like, right now. So we have Eli. He's digging into the twins' disappearance. We've got Gabriel navigating this dangerous underworld. And, oh, yeah, a hurricane is brewing off the coast. I mean, talk about setting the stage for some serious tension.
Yeah, and all of this is happening in Louisiana, you know, from the underbelly, the gritty underbelly of Mobile, Alabama, to the lavish estates, you know, of Louisiana's elite. And Marler really knows how to paint a picture with his words. You know what I mean? Wow. I felt like I was right there with the characters
totally experiencing
it all.
Speaking of characters, I have to ask about Vivian Delacroix. She's Kingsley's right-hand woman, right? She sounds terrifying.
Yeah, she's definitely a force to be reckoned with. Smart, beautiful, and absolutely ruthless, you know. She's the one who grooms both Gabriel and the twins. She just exploits their vulnerabilities for Kingsley's gain. But what's interesting is that you get glimpses of her backstory, and you start to see how her own experiences, you know, they shaped her.
Wow.
Into this almost monstrous figure.
Yeah.
Tragic.
So there's even more depth to her than just being, like, the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. It makes everything feel, you know, more real. What about the other characters? Like, is there anyone else we should be paying attention to?
Well, there's Vivian's brother, Andre Badeau. He's really involved in Kingsley's operation at first, but as things unfold, he starts to question his loyalty.
Oh, okay.
Especially when his own family gets caught in the crossfire. His internal struggle really adds another layer of moral complexity to the story.
So you've got family ties, betrayals, moral dilemmas. I mean, this book has it all. I'm dying to know if Eli can actually bring down Kingsley and save those girls. But you're going to make me read it to find out, aren't you?
You know, I can't give away the ending. But I will say this. Marler is a master at weaving together these intricate plot lines and keeping you guessing until the very last page.
Right. All right. You've convinced me. But before I dive into Evil for Good, let's talk a bit more about the bigger picture here. Like, what are some of the themes that Marler is exploring in this book?
Well, one of the most prominent themes is definitely redemption. Like, it goes beyond just rescuing the victims. You know, you see characters wrestling with their own past mistakes.
Right.
Trying to find a way to make things right. Like, is redemption even possible, you know, for someone like Kingsley?
Oh, wow.
Or even someone like Governor Bordelon if they've done some pretty shady things, you know?
I see what you mean. It makes you think about how far someone has to go before they're beyond redemption, right?
Yeah.
Now. Like, where do you draw the line? And is it even our place to draw that line?
That's a tough question, and I think that's what makes this book so thought-provoking. Marler doesn't give you easy answers, you know? He forces you to really grapple with these, like, gray areas of morality, figure out what you believe.
That's something I always appreciate in a good book, you know?
Yeah.
Like, give me something to chew on, you know? Make me think.
Yeah.
And speaking of things that make you think, what about the whole power dynamic? Because Kingsley is clearly all about power and control, but it seems like that theme goes deeper than just one character.
Definitely. You see how the desire for power corrupts people at all levels, from the street thugs to the politicians. And it's not just about individual corruption either, you know?
Right.
Marler seems to be saying something about the systems themselves, mm-hmm. about how power can be used to exploit, to silence those who don't have it.
Right. Like the way the police dismiss the twins case because they're from, well, from a marginalized community. That felt, I don't know, very real and really unsettling.
Exactly. It highlights the systemic issues, right, that contribute to these kinds of injustices. It makes you wonder, like, how do you fight against a system that's rigged against you from the start?
Which brings us back to Gabriel. He's stuck in this system. He's being exploited. But then he makes this choice, this decision that you're being so mysterious about.
I know.
Does that represent a way of fighting back?
Mm.
Can he reclaim some of his power, even in that situation?
You'll have to read to find out how it all plays out for Gabriel, but I think his story really highlights the resilience of the human spirit. Even in the face of, you know, unimaginable hardship, there's this spark in him that refuses to be extinguished.
That's what makes a character truly inspiring, right?
Yeah.
Their ability to keep going when everything seems stacked against them.
Yeah.
It makes me think about the twins, too, and what they must be going through, you know?
Yeah.
Do they have that same spark?
You know, that's one of the things I loved about this book. Even though the subject matter is dark, Marler never lets you forget about the victims, you know?
Yeah.
He shows you their strength, their vulnerability, their humanity. It would have been easy to just focus on the action, you know, the suspense.
Right.
But he takes the time to explore the emotional impact of what these characters are experiencing.
And isn't that what really stays with you after you finish a book? It's the emotional impact, the connection you feel with the characters. Speaking of emotional impact, you mentioned earlier that Eli is still dealing with that head injury. How does that play out in this book?
It's a constant struggle for him. It affects his memory, his mood, his ability to focus, and it really puts a strain on his relationships, especially with Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
You can see how much she worries about him and how frustrating it is for her, you know?
Right.
To see him pushing himself so hard.
Oh, man, that adds a whole other layer of tension to the story. It's not just about the external threats, but the internal battles he's facing, too.
Exactly. And it raises the question of how much someone can endure before they break, you know?
Right.
Is there a point where the pursuit of justice becomes self-destructive?
Those are some heavy questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like this book really dives into some complex territory.
It does. But it's not all doom and gloom. There are also moments of humor, of connection, of hope. And Marler does a fantastic job of balancing those lighter moments with the darker aspects of the story. It makes for a really compelling read.
Okay, you've definitely piqued my curiosity.
Yeah.
Before we wrap things up, I have to ask about the ending. Without giving anything away, can you at least tell me if it's a satisfying conclusion?
Let's just say that Marler doesn't shy away from difficult choices. You know,
right.
He delivers a resolution that feels both realistic and impactful while still leaving you with plenty to think about long after you've turned that last page.
All right. You've sold me. I'm adding Evil for Good to my reading list ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
But before I dive into that, I want to hear more about some of the specific things you found memorable. You know, like, were there any scenes or characters that really stuck with you? Okay, so you've got me on the edge of my seat. What were some of the scenes or characters that really grabbed you in Evil for Good?
Well, you know, one scene that really stuck with me was the confrontation between Eli and Kingsley. It was in Kingsley's office.
Oh, wow.
It was almost like a chess match.
I bet.
You know, each of them trying to outmaneuver the other.
Oh, I bet that was intense. Eli going right into the lion's den, so to speak.
Exactly. And you see how Kingsley uses his wealth and his power to try and intimidate Eli?
Okay, yeah.
Even offering him, like, a big donation to Redemption Rescue if he'll just back off.
Wow, talk about a moral dilemma. It makes you wonder, what would you do in that situation? Would you compromise your principles for, you know, for the greater good?
Right. And it really gets to the heart of what Eli and Dakota are struggling with throughout the book. Like, how do you fight evil without becoming a little bit evil yourself?
That's a question a lot of us grapple with, I think. And speaking of grappling with tough choices, what about the scene where Gabriel saves Kingsley's life? I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, come on.
That was a real turning point in the story.
Yeah.
Here's this guy. He has every reason to hate Kingsley. And yet, you know, he risks his own life to save him.
It's almost like he sees something in Kingsley, like some, I don't know, like some flicker of humanity that makes him hesitate. Or maybe he's just, you know, playing the long game, biding his time.
That's the beauty of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Marler leaves it open to interpretation, but it definitely makes you question Gabriel's motivations and what he's ultimately hoping to achieve.
Yeah, for sure. And what about the scene where Eli gets framed and arrested? That had to be a real punch in the gut.
Oh, it was, yeah. It was.
Cool.
You really feel the weight of Kingsley's power in that moment.
Yeah.
He's able to manipulate the system, you know, make Eli look like he's the criminal. It's kind of scary to think, you know, how easily someone with that kind of influence can twist the truth.
It's a reminder that, you know, sometimes the good guys don't always win. Or at least it's not always a clear-cut victory, you know.
Right, exactly. And that makes the story feel more realistic, doesn't it? Because, you know, the real world is messy and complicated. There aren't always easy answers.
So we've talked about some of the pivotal scenes. What about the characters? Any standouts for you? I'm still intrigued by Vivian Delacroix.
Oh, she's definitely a character that stays with you. You can tell, you know, Marler put a lot of thought into crafting her backstory, her motivations. You know, she's not just a one-dimensional villain.
I get the feeling that there's a lot of pain driving her actions. Like, she almost seems like a victim herself. In a way.
I think that's a really insightful observation. She's a product of the same system that she perpetuates. It makes you wonder, you know, what kind of person would she be if she hadn't been exposed to so much darkness?
That's the kind of question that keeps me up at night. And what about Andre Bedeau? You mentioned earlier that his journey is really compelling.
He's a fascinating character because he represents that internal struggle, you know?
Right.
Between loyalty and conscience. He's torn between his family and what he knows is right.
I can only imagine. I mean, that's a tough position to be in, you know, especially when the stakes are so high.
And you see how that internal conflict takes a toll on him, both physically and emotionally. He's a character who's forced to confront some really hard truths about himself and the people he loves.
It sounds like there's no shortage of drama and moral complexity in this book.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also curious about the way that Marler uses, you know, the Louisiana setting. Does that play a significant role in this story?
Oh, absolutely. The atmosphere, the culture, the history of Louisiana, it's all woven into the fabric of the story. Oh. You can almost feel the humidity in the air, smell the beignets, hear the jazz music.
Right.
It's like another character in the story.
And you mentioned earlier that the hurricane plays a role too, right? It's not just a random weather event.
Right. It represents the forces of chaos and destruction that are threatening to engulf these characters. Yeah. It's a reminder that nature is just as powerful and just as unpredictable as any human villain.
Wow. I love how Marler uses these symbolic elements to add layers of meaning to the story. It sounds like Evil for Good is more than just a thriller. It's a story about humanity, about choice, about the struggle between good and evil. Am I getting that right?
Absolutely. And it's a story that stays with you, you know, long after you finish reading it. It makes you think about the world we live in, the choices we make, and the consequences of our actions.
All right. You've convinced me. I'm definitely going to check out Evil for Good. I'm ready for a book that's going to, you know, keep me on the edge of my seat and make me think. Thanks for taking me on this deep dive. It's been a pleasure. As always.
My pleasure. Happy reading.